Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The gap between those two isn't as big as it looks. You know, like I didn't feel like Jet was playing with this guy. And he's going down the street like, dad, you know, willing. Dude was like a second and a half faster than me. I went after the second practice and went to sleep, people. True story. I was like, this is a dream. I got to go to sleep, wake up, because this can't happen. What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we at. We're at the Rewind Show, baby, from round 24, home of Lake Minnetonka, Spring Creek, Minnesota, Prince in the Purple Rain. Ow!
Well, for starters, you have to purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
You know what it is? Rest in peace, my brother. Rest in peace, my brother. Long time coming. One of the favorite tracks for all these riders. You know, the weather was good. The track was phenomenal. The Martin guys, they did a great job. We saw even pretty boy Ryan Dungey up in that joint. So you know these boys are going to show up and show out. And after last weekend, we had Jet Lawrence dominant go 1-1. We had Chase up there trying to fight him, but nobody was keeping him. But Chase changed this weekend, or will Jet continue to run away? And then Hunter Lawrence, the brother, making the Lawrence name look bad. I don't know. He's going to get kicked out. Would he rebound? Would Danger Boy come up? Or would hanging with Mr. Cooper or RJ show up? Well, you know what we got to do. So let's get into it. Round 24, Minnetonka, Minnesota, Spring Creek. Let's do it. Coming into Millville, one of the favorites for all the riders, one of my favorites. You have the long sand rollers. Authentic's been there forever. And it seems like some years they're bigger, some years they're smaller and faster, but Millville's been known for the sand rollers. And lately, the downhills, like they have a pretty big, long downhill, probably one of the longest ones on the circuit and pretty steep. If you've never been there, they're a lot steeper than it looks on TV. So the dirt is good. All the guys, it's kind of like what they use here in Florida or wherever they at. It's one of the best, soils of the season. So just like Red Bud, you got Staples, you got Red Bud, you got Bud's Creek, and you got Millville. Those are usually like all-time favorites of all the riders. So going into this weekend, we knew we wouldn't have to worry about really bike issues. It was after last weekend, it's going to be a walk in the park. And again, like those guys, Martins, they did a great job. From looking on TV, it looked like the best Millville I've seen in a long, long time. Made me wish I was out there riding. So everybody looked like they enjoyed it. And again, no rain, great track. So you know the action was going to be. So Millville has always been a favorite for all these guys. And it looked like it from what I saw. Lately, when we start talking about 250 class, we're talking about Hunter Lawrence. Why? Because he was the red play holder, most dominant. But after the last couple races, second moto at Red Bud, first moto last weekend at Southwick, he's lost 50 points, and it changed. It inherited to this Danger kid, Danger Boy. So we're going to start with Hayden Dingen because he was the points leader coming into this. And so I felt like after last weekend, even though he inherited points lead, Hayden needed to come back and kind of get back on the role of not being the guy that just inherits it because everybody else is bad luck. More of the guy that just sees in a moment, like how he was Justin Cooper, like the guy that was just starting to build and continuing with the success and all year long, continuing growing. He needed to come back and do that. And there was no reason not to, because even guys, if you don't ride sand, and I know Millville has somewhat of a sandy soil, but it's pretty much a clay base with a little bit of, you know, looseness on top. It's not a sand track like last weekend. So if you don't know how to ride sand, good thing Millville's not that type. So Hayden Deegan had to show up. He had the red plate, and I was really interested to see how he would feel with that. There's a narrative about you have the red plate, there's a lot of weight to it. Well, last time I checked, it's the same weight as a black or white background. You know, the only thing that's weighted is your mind and what you think it is. Because at the end of the day, I would say even Hayden himself, if he's being honest, Hunter still is overall the best guy. So it's not like he had the red plate like Hunter, where everybody felt like, okay, no, he's the best. He has the red plate. They feel like Hunter's still the best. He just had some bad luck. And if he gets back on his form, then he's going to be hard to beat. So Hayden coming in, like, would he take that and start running like, I am the guy? Would he continue riding like he did? And I don't know what was up with Hayden. He just seemed off. And he seemed off kind of like he was last weekend. Just, you know, he was good. He was there. Almost like he seemed like what we thought he was going to be in the beginning part of the season. Like that guy that was like, yeah, he would get a podium every once in a while, but probably between that third and like eighth place every moto. That's where we thought he was going to be. You know, he'd be good, but not like quite good enough when you got Joe Shimoda hanging with Mr. Cooper and Hunter Lawrence, RJ. He would be right behind that. But he's doing a lot better than everybody thought, and his trend was going up. So I feel like we've all started changing narrative on him being the guy that was going to challenge Hunter, because he was that second place guy. He was the most consistent and he was beating everybody else pretty soundly. I mean, that red butt, that first moto, besides Hunter just being dominant, Hayden Deegan was the best person and ended up winning overall. So Southwick was one race that we were like, wow, like that was odd. It was a sand track going here into Millville. I felt like Hayden had to come back and kind of seize that moment. Not only because one is the point, but really just to say Southwick was just Southwick, and at this point, me being inherent in the lead, like, ain't gonna affect me. That's really what I wanted to see from Hayden and what I felt like he was gonna have to do. So it was a little shocking to see what happened to first moto, because he's been so good. But when you start thinking about Hayden and the one thing at being so young and as a rookie, the one thing Hayden, and I got to give this kid a lot of credit, the one thing he does not do is like blow up. Like he doesn't blow up. Like this weekend, he was up front. Hunter got around him. Few guys got around him. And then Hayden, instead of going back to like 10th, Hayden ended up fifth. That takes a lot for a rookie, one. That takes a lot for any kind of rider to be like, I'm got the red plate. I'm expecting to win these things in my mind. I'm the guy to beat. But then he's going backwards and these guys are like passing him. Usually like guys don't, like they don't bowl well. I've seen other riders, I ain't going to say no names, but I've seen other riders that's beat them in that moto. When that happens to them, they end up like 11th or 13th. So the fact is Hayden was able to still just fight his way and just get a fifth. And then the second moto, he got a bad start and came up to eighth. It still says a lot about his mentality. And I think that's just as impressive as him winning overall a couple weeks ago, because usually rookies don't do that, and even veterans. So although he had an off weekend, and I'm sure he's going to be bummed, and I'm sure he's decided to go to Washougal, which is more like a California track, Hayden's got to keep his head up because he's still fighting. And at the end of the day, he's going to have every opportunity to stop Hunter Lawrence. As far as with everybody else being in this field, because you got Joe Shimoda, which we saw what happened this weekend. We got RJ and we got Justin Cooper. So Hayden will be able to, if he can get on that track, and the guys that can start winning is going to gain a lot of points, because I believe if it ain't Hunter Lawrence winning and if somebody else, then that means Hunter Lawrence probably ain't just finishing like second every single time. Those other guys are going to be up because something's going to have to happen, because clearly Hunter was above the rest of the field this weekend. So I feel like if he's not winning, then something happened. There's going to be a lot of guys that get in between it. But Hayden, you'll be all right. Show up this weekend, you'll be fine. Next was Hunter Lawrence. Now, after having two races of just bad luck and then being hurt, dude showed up. dude showed up. I feel like, honestly, it was a vet rod, even better than Red Bud. Like, it's amazing what 7 days do, and a dude can get healed. But dude showed up, and I know he went down that second motor, which we were all, like, sitting there, like, all right, damn. Like, he fell. Like, Joe Schmoder's in the lead, and Justin Cooper's in the lead. It, like, what happened? And then we caught up and saw it. But Hunter Lawrence was, you could tell, like, he just felt like he was going to whoop some ass. Dude had a best, like, he had a line after that finish line and then the start straight. Going down that line, like, going inside, that dude was slinging it. And it was cool to watch because you could see it, like, oh, here it comes. Like, here it comes. And the reason he was able to do that is because he was going down that straightaway, staying on the outside, breaking in that switchback where back in the day, OGL went down long, long time ago. Lost front end hood. But he was cutting back to the inside, hitting that single and then landing and shooting across. But it was because he was being patient and he had this whole section planned out. And he knew by breaking here in that little switchback, he was going to lose a tiny bit of time, but he was going to gain three times that much by doing that. And it was cool to watch him do that section. And his momentum just kept up. But Hunter was on a different level. Those guys didn't have anything from him. And it was the first rider all year that's came from that far back and just came up through the lead. Hunter Lawrence ain't even done that this year. Like, he's able to come up from the back and then get, like, second or third. But he went through everyone. And so he was dominant. He's got more points than he did going into this. That means he's the red points leader. And to be honest, nothing's really changed besides he's gotten healthy. And as far as his riding, what he showed this weekend, he was on form just like he was at Red Bud. And he's still the guy. The only thing that's changed is that everybody's bunched up. I think the top five guys are within, you know, 21 points. So the chance, if Hunter has another bad moto, then all of a sudden Justin Cooper could be up there in the points lead. We hear RJ talking about, look, just need to get through these next couple races and then last three and all hell is going to break loose. So overall, everybody's there, but Hunter Lawrence is still the guy and he came in and solidified himself this weekend. Joe Shimoda, Far East Coast, finally saw you. We saw you last weekend. That second moto, dominant. And you can see, I said it last weekend, every lap that he was riding, he was getting more confidence. Well, Joe pulls the whole shot this first moto, and he's going down the street like, dad, dad, you know, wheeling. And it's just odd to, not odd, it's just awesome to see what confidence does. And us riders, there's little things. I mean, if you can get a moto, like, great. I remember when I won here in 2013, I had that battle with Trey Kennard. We had that gnarly when I won that first moto. You best believe I came that second moto. I was pumped up. Got like third, but you know, the next moto, next weekend at Washougal, I felt like I could win the race. Yeah, I mean, the statistics, I know they fell and Ryan Dungey chain had to come off and Villafoda had to go in the first corner, but damn, I won. So nonetheless, you win. And these little small victories allow us as riders, because hey, look, if you're out here and you can qualify, they pretty damn good. So it really comes to a mindset, and you can just see that with Joe Shimoda, and it was awesome to see Far East Coast back, and he's going to be a player. And I think for him, the good thing is that last year at the end of the season, like, he was rolling. And so I think if Joe has a chance, it's going to start at Washougal. Joe has a chance for this championship outside of just, let's say, I'm just going to beat Hunter straight up. If he DNFs or not. And I feel like if one guy outside of Hunter Lawrence can just get on a roll and actually start winning, no matter what Hunter does, I actually think they'll win this title, because that means, like, they're going to beat him, get that confidence, and then they can continue to do that. Then you don't need, there's enough races that you don't need Hunter to have bad luck. You're going to need bad luck if you get like a fifth and then you win a moto and Hunter just goes like 2-1 or, you know, and all that. But I think all these guys up here, maybe outside of like Hayden, to be honest with you, has the speed just straight up that can run. We know Justin Cooper. We know when RJ gets RJ-ish, he can be dominant. We know Joe Shimoda can. And even like with those guys can just say, I can straight up just beat this dude on speed. I feel like with Hayden, he might be the one guy that's probably mentally is strong, because look, even fighting for like fifth place that first moto, like I said, he was going backwards fighting. That's a mental thing. That's a strong kid. And the reason he's where he's at is because he's been the most consistent outside of Hunter. out of all those other guys. So he can still have a chance to win, but he can win in a different way. And so I just feel like maybe those other guys, if they get to it, then we have this championship, five guys within 21 points, it's on. And so that 250 class is just living up to the hype. And thank God Hunter had to blow his bike up and then, you know, went down in the first corner and allowed 50 points to come back in there. But thank God for us, he was able to do that, because now there's 250 class and you got five guys in there feeling like they have a shot to win. And that's outside of Tom Vial. That's outside of Levi Kitchen. That's outside of some of these other guys that can just show up and show out too. So Washougal, you know we're going to be tuning into that. So Hunter Lawrence, you know what you are. And I feel like it's been a while. It's been a while. You almost got kicked out the house. You almost got kicked out of the house. Your brother's out there dominating. You up there blowing bikes up. You're crashing the first corner. What the hell's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Like, you have to change your name. It's a bad look for the Lawrence family. But nah, you come back after last weekend. You know, Southwick ain't your cup of tea. You won. It's like me at Unadilla. Like, I love that place. I won the first 3 years there on the 125. Then I landed on Ricky's ass, and I hated that place afterwards. So you in Southwick, if you ain't got Styles Robin cross-jumping, and you Matrix, and you blowing up bikes, and you just struggling. So Southwick is out, but you came to Millville with a point to prove, and you knew what it was. You weren't even worried about winning the race. You weren't even worried about that. You weren't even worried about getting that red plate. Don't worry about that. What you were worried about is getting this again. Hit it for him, Colt.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Neck burn, Hunter Lawrence. It's been a while. It's been a while. It's been like, what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, three?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
It's been too long. I know your brother just got another one, so you were worried about getting that because you felt like if you got that, then the red plate would come with it. And if that, then you got the key back to your house. You wouldn't have to worry about getting booted out. So Hunter Lawrence, good to see you back. You were dominant. You were good. That line after that start straight. Johnny O, I know you were telling him. That's the O show right there. Just smooth, smooth. Good job, kid. Good to see you back. Hopefully the ribs are, you know, back to barbecue and whatnot. I don't know. Buffalo ribs, baby back ribs. Get your ribs situated and then come to Washougal where you know Justin Cooper is going to be fired and Hayden Deegan. So good job, kid. All right, people. All right. That was enough of that. We had the salad. We had the appetizer. We even had the bread. Now we got to get the entree. What are we going to have? We're going to have some set, jet, fire, Chase Sexton, steak, whatnots. Well, I don't even know what kind of food that is. Or we're going to have the filet mignon, the one that's just the best of the best. The one that you like, you want to get, but damn, it's so damn expensive, but it's so damn good, and that's your Jet Low and Jet Fire. Or we're going to have a hamburger, Chase Sexton. Whatever it is, either way, you're going to get full. Well, we're here at that main course. And yeah, people, I don't know what the hell that was, but you know what I mean. We are the main attraction. So last weekend, I talked about how it was Chase had a problem. He came in with problems and he left with issues. Well, Chase got an issue right now that he's going to have to fix, but I think the problem can be solved. We're going to have to figure it out. The issue was that Jet Lawrence wasn't worried about him. Well, I feel like Chase Sexton didn't like that. He didn't like that at all. And it wasn't even about Chase trying to come in here and break the streak. Don't even worry about that. It was about Chase coming in here and like showing Jet that I'm fast. And when I'm on, like, bro, like, I'm still pretty damn good. That's what Chase needed to do. Forget trying to win at that. Forget trying to win, because I believe you can come in and do that and show speed and show Jet something, the likelihood of you winning, hey, you know, it could be like up there. So just focus on that. But I also said that unless Chase changed on a few things, that he was still going to get beat by Jet. If Chase had better technique, he would beat Jet Lawrence right now. I'm not going to lie. I know you guys ain't going to like it. And I feel like this weekend that scenario played out, because Chase came in here and those couple laps, even though somehow Jet Lawrence was the fastest in that first moto and Chase was the fastest in that second moto, which is strange because they looked like the flip, the complete opposite. Chase was rolling that first moto. That was watching it, and I had to like peek in the background. I kept looking at lap times and I'm like looking at the screen, and they were talking about something else. And I'm like, damn, is the timing off? Because this dude's like catching him, but we're not seeing it. He keeps catching him. And then all of a sudden, like, he was right there. And Chase found the groove. And you know he was, like, pissed off. Because I've been telling, like, tuck the front end. Well, he didn't tuck the front end. Like, well, he did kind of tuck the front end. But he almost went down. But that wasn't no tuck front end-ish. He just went down. He got lucky on that. But he got back up. And as a rider, the main part of why Chase was able to catch Jet, it wasn't that. Like the time, 6-7 laps into it. What gave Chase confidence is once he got up, it was what he was able to do those first two laps that was allowed him to catch Jet Lawrence. Because he was able to pass like Ferrandis, run down Cincerella, and Jason Anderson. He blew past those guys. And then he looked up and he was like, Jet's still right there. Like, Jet's, and I'm actually starting to catch him. So it was all done. Like, he was like, damn. And weeks pass, if I can't stay within a couple seconds of him the first lap, I ain't never going to catch him. So the fact that he went down, got up, and you got confidence from passing those other guys allowed him to see Jet and be like, oh, I think I can get this dude. And dude was rolling. And I would say, like, when you look at it, you're almost, is he, like, overriding? Like, is he riding over his head? No, I didn't think he was. I just think, when you start going that speed, things start coming at you quicker, and anything that's an issue or you make a mistake, it's elevated because you're going that much faster. So it looks like you're overriding. I didn't feel like Chase was like on the ragged edge. I thought Chase was still struggling with the same things. Even if he was going to slower speed, he just had more likelihood to save it because he was going a little bit slower. I just thought those things were coming at him faster so you can see it. But I thought Chase looked good. And he looked like it was the first time all year that he found that flow to where you're like, all right, that's Chase Sexton. Like, all right, that dude, if he was racing all a year long, I guarantee Jet probably wouldn't be undefeated because that dude was rolling. But at the same time, it allowed Chase to get that confidence, and also think it showed him that there's still things that he needs to work on. But it also showed him that this dude, in which I knew Chase believed that, because you could tell he's pissed off after the race and even last weekend, he believes that he can beat this dude. And I've been saying it all along that the gap between those two isn't as big as it looks. You know, like, I didn't feel like Jet was playing with this guy. I didn't feel like he was playing, because playing with somebody allows that to happen. And if you remember me talking about it, whether it was last week and the week before, where he said, okay, if you allow God to just catch you, and then you're like, oh, okay, all right, I'm going to just dip out on him. Either you got to have a master plan that you know you can drive it like 2 seconds, and that once he catches you, you can just blast his doors off and dip out, kind of like what Jet did to Ferrandis a couple weeks ago at Red Bud. But you don't allow a guy to just like catch you and then like feel like he gets that confidence, because what happens is what Chase went through. If Jet would have put in those hot laps, when Chase was on the ground, if Jet would have tried, which he might have been trying to do that, if he'd have just dipped out on Chase and pulled another 2 seconds, Chase would have never caught him. Chase would have got past Jason Anderson, and Chase would have just sat right there, because everything would have been like how it was in weeks past. He would have never thought he would be able to catch Jet because he wasn't faster in practice, and he was trying to catch Jet. He went down. So what's different? The fact is, he was, whether Jet was lagging or whatnot, he allowed Chase to get past those dudes and see him and get the confidence. And I said, Chase is too good of a rider to allow that to happen, because once he gets going, he is hard to stop. And the only thing that will stop him is himself. That's going to stop him. Because I do believe if Chase starts getting in the zone and he rolls, he'll beat Jet. I said it. I said, like, if Chase, like, had better technique and he would go, he would beat Jet. And this weekend, I'll explain why he wasn't able to pass Jet, but you just saw it. He ran him down for almost 10 seconds back, just ran him down. And Jet picked it up, and they both was making mistakes, and there was no, like, playing around. And that's why I go back to the fact that if Jet, you wouldn't allow somebody to close in on you and just be playing games like that, you know, unless you knew you can drop it down like 2 or 3 seconds. And so we saw that this weekend with Chase and the confidence. And before we talk about anything, shout out! I ain't finished. Well, I said I was going to talk about that. I ain't even allow you. My bad, people. Maybe I ain't get a little bit. But Chase, the reason why he couldn't pass Jet was because a little bit of technique, but also his bike setup. And I'm going to go into the bike setup a little bit, because if you watch those two rides, and Jet said after the race, after the first motor, he was going to make some changes to his motorcycle. I'm not sure what those changes were, but you can clearly see the difference in those two bikes. And it was cool to see, because I don't know why this weekend it was really on display, but when you watch Chase bike, you see a bike that's dead in the rear. It's really dead. I don't know if Chase is running that BFR shock or he just has the rebound turned in really slow. And when you watch Chase, where he's really good at is going down those hills. Those downhills, dude, he was going like 5-6 miles an hour faster than Jet. Like, he was going down it. Having a slow rebound and having a bike low in the rear allows you to do that. But where Chase was struggling at is, and the reason why I feel like he crashed, and because you've noticed Chase was losing a lot of traction around the racetrack. Well, a slow rebound is a negative. Like, it's harder to get traction, especially when you're coming out some of those 180s and those slippery and it has like small braking bumps. If you watch Chase's bike, it seems like when his bike goes down, his whole tire and fender goes up. Like, everything goes up. Or when you look at Jet's bike, when his bike goes down, you can see his fender go back up and then his tires stay on the ground and his bike's working. Where Chase is like, everything's like this. Well, that's the difference between a rebound. Like, Jet's rebound and suspension is recovering. Why Jet was so good in the whoops, in the beginning part of the whoops, was two things. Jet was leaning the motorcycle, his angle going into that section, the sand rollers, his angle was a lot better. And I think he was comfortable doing that is because, like, his bike, when he landed off that single, right before you do a little switchback and then you cut back and go into the whoops, but when he lands off that, those braking bumps right there, he's not worried about the back end hitting and shooting out, where Chase had to worry about that. Jet's bike would land, it would work. He would able to cut back, and then he was going through those rollers. And if you watch Jet's bike, his wheels stayed on the ground going in that. Like, his wheels never left the ground. And to be able to do that, you got to have a bike that recovers quick enough in between those rollers, where Jet bike was. You watch Chase, Chase would land off that same single, hit those braking bumps, and he wouldn't be lean. Like, it was almost like he would land and kind of just wait to get through that section, those braking bumps and that little switchback, and then go into those sand rollers. And the problem was, is that when he waited to get through it, threw him in a different angle going into that sand roller, to those sand rollers. And if you ever been to Millville, and if you look from the backside, it's like you got to land off that single, cut back, and then the best way to get through those things is be able to almost have a better, like, kind of cut that corner to where you're turning, but you're not, like, you're able to, like, keep your momentum and go straight. Well, Chase was going into it and he was getting too straight going into those rollers, which makes him have to turn a little bit sharper going left, which you lose your speed compared to where Jet was just, I mean, a couple inches, couple feet over allows him to not turn as much going into that. And he was able to keep his momentum. So when you watch those two, you can just see the difference on one, a bike setup and trust. Now, this weekend, I noticed, especially with Chase's rear end, when we talked about in Supercross, when he landed at Oakland and he landed off that single and his bike like spun around. This weekend, it was like you saw that same thing. And it goes back to what I was saying about the rebound. If you watch Chase go down, he goes past the start straight, the mechanics error. Watch how his bike goes in as he's going down a long straightaway right before where Hunter Lawrence is really fast, and you start right before you go into sand rollers. Watch Chase's bike. You can see him going down and he hit those braking bumps. You can see his rear end like come off the like his tires come off the ground. Like you notice every bump. Where you see Jet, his bike might move quicker, but it's not lifting up like where the tires are still planted on the ground. So it allows Jet to have feel going down the racetrack. And I think this weekend when Chase caught Jet, he had the speed to go past Jet. Even though Jet, he picked up the lap times, Chase was rolling to the point to where I think if Jet wasn't in front of him or Jet made a mistake, he would be able to go around him and then continue with that speed. The fact is, once you catch a guy, and if you can't like run the same lines, you got to be able to, this is where a bike setup comes in. You got to be able to switch out of the corners. Like you got to be able to make time up by cutting out and be able to pass somebody not in the fast line. And I feel like with Chase, he didn't have enough traction to do that. Like his lines were like in the main lines. Like he had to have that momentum. He had to stay in those berms. He couldn't cut out because he would just spin out. We saw it, the second motor, he spins out. A little bit of that was traction. But even when he went down, like his rear end's dead, front end catches the top, and then he loses it. Like that's a lot of like that's having a rear end like dead. So that's why I feel like he caught Jet and he couldn't like pass him because he wasn't able to like cut out a lot of that stuff. And again, if you just watch his bike going on a racetrack, you can see the bike lift up off the ground. That being said, the having a slow rebound was allowing Chase to run Jet down. And so it's a fine line between being able to have it slow and then being able to learn how to like ride and pass like that, where I feel like that's where when you think about Chase, if you're going to set your bike up like that, then you're going to have to learn how to ride it and be able to pass like that. I feel like Chase's bike setup is whatever he likes. It was more of what I liked it, a dead rear end, slow rebound. But I learned how to ride it like that so where I can pass people and I was really comfortable. But I was comfortable because I was leaning the bike and I felt like I had more feeling of the bike. Where Chase is like, I think he did that because he doesn't have that confidence. So he doesn't want to get kicked in the rear. But maybe necessarily that's not how he likes to ride motorcycle, which when he gets in certain situations, he's not confident enough to lean the bike and just feel his way around the racetrack to pass Jet. So he's got to either adapt to that or he's going to have to split the differences. But dude was flying going down the hill. And another place that having a slow rebound was holding Chase back is where the lapper got into him when they went down right for that Mount Martin. If you notice how much harder it was for Chase to go up that hill, like he was losing time going up that hill. They would hit that triple and then they would hit another triple. Watch when Chase lands, he's like landing and almost like trying to pull the bike to like continue going up the hill. Where when Jet land, he was actually scrubbing that thing. And when he lands, he was able to just keep his momentum up. The bike would recover. And as long as if Chase would actually catch that triple part like good and he wouldn't clip anything, then he would be all right. When he did clip it, it was like his bike was too dead and then he was pulling himself up and he kept losing time right there. But then he would haul ass down that hill. He would make that time up. And the last part with Chase is on his motorcycle, when he goes down.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Just for everybody at home, when you see rebound, when a bike's either too soft or rebounds too slow, what happens is they go down, and this is exactly what happens to Chase when he falls the last lap. He gets down there, the rear end bottoms out, and it goes in. Like a bike bottoms, and the whole bike goes in. So if I'm trying to turn right and my rear end is on the right-hand side, that's a rebound. That's a dead rebound. And so the what we saw on the racetrack and then what ends up happening with Chase is because his bike gets down there, it bottoms out because it's soft. The rebound doesn't recover, and it kicks him back to the inside. Then he falls over. That's a slow rebound. So if you see guys like doing that, that's kind of like, all right, you can just say like, oh, I think that's a rebound. If it was fast, what would happen is he would be going down that section and he would be leaned up. The rear end would pop and it would go out. It would go the opposite. So if you're going right, the rear end would kick out to the left. That would be a fast rebound or stiff bike. So those are little nuances with Chase. So when you watch his motorcycle and you watch Jet, not saying either one of them's bad. It's just you got to learn how to like ride it in all scenarios like that. Like Chase is really good. You can tell he's comfortable going down those hills. But I think the reason Chase chose that setup is probably more the fact that he's trying to prevent something else from happening rather than that's what he wants. And so we saw that on full display. But overall, Chase rode good, rode really good. I feel like for him, it was a win. It was a win. And I think at the end of the day, you could see him on the podium. Like he was like, I'm going to get one of these. And that's what a confidence like with Chase Sexton, where I was saying, out of all the things that needs to happen, like that needed to happen, because you can tell from his interviews, whether he comes out and say it or by his tone of voice, it bothers him. Like it bothers him because Chase is your defending Supercross champion. Champion. Going in this outdoor season, I know Eli Tomac, if even before going into after he won the Supercross title, but even in January, I felt like Chase was saying, I'm the guy that's going to win the Supercross title. And I ran Eli and I was so close to him. I'll be better in outdoors this year. Jet Lawrence, whatever. He was the guy in his mind. And most people had him picked out, especially after Eli went out, that he was going to be the title threat. They felt like Jet was going to be coming in and they'll give him runs, but he was going to be the guy. So you got to think that mindset of Chase. Last time I raced Jet, I was almost had him and I was like knocked out. Like the first round, a little woozy, you know? So I had him there and then it comes back and I'm fast at Red Bull, but all this stuff saying he wants to beat Jet again, not only to stop the streak, not only because he's on the Honda, because he's a damn racer and he knows what it's allowed him to do. And so for him, I feel like it was a win. Because, yeah, he didn't win, but you could tell the confidence. And I think for us fans, it pissed him off. Like, this weekend pissed him off because he feels like I went down. I was able to run this dude down. So I get confidence that next time I'm a couple seconds back, I can catch him because I just did it from far back. So that's going to allow him to do it. And you're going into Washougal. The only thing for Chase, and I'll be it on him, I don't think that bike's going to work at Washougal. I don't think that setup's going to work. Now, Honda has an interesting scenario because you have one part where you could be like, okay, is his bike holding him back? Well, yes and no. Like, I do think his crash was part of the bike and part of other stuff, which ain't, well, you already know where I'm going with that. So I ain't going to go over there. But then you have the other side where you got Jet Lawrence. So you'd be like, Honda could just fix it. Well, each one of these riders, they get to choose whatever the hell they want to choose. So Chase feels comfortable with that. Jet feels comfortable with that. So it's not like Honda, I would blame Honda for Chase's bike because they have one that's the opposite of that and it works just fine. But when you go to Washougal, you're going to need traction. You ain't got those long downhills. And so I think having a lower rear end is going to help like Chase a little bit, but the rebound is going to have to be a hell of a lot faster because at Washougal, it's all about coming out of the corners and not spinning up. So what did Chase struggle at this week? Coming out of the corners because he was spinning up because he didn't have no traction because the thing was so low and dead. So I think he's got to change that. But overall, what we saw him do last year at Washougal against Eli Tosmacina. I think it's going to be on this weekend. So looking forward to that. But all that being said, you have Jed Lawrence. And yeah, he was fast. I mean, dude was like 4 seconds faster in practice. I mean, I remember Chad Reed, 2006, he was faster, or 2007 at Daytona. Dude was like a second and a half faster than me. I went after the second practice and went to sleep, people. True story. I was like, this is a dream. I got to go to sleep, wake up, because this can't happen. So somebody being 4 seconds faster, now RC, sometimes he's 4 seconds faster, but I ain't care. Nobody cared about that little leprechaun. Nobody cared about that. I already knew that dude was fast. But Chad Reed, I was like, damn, and he was faster than RC that day. I had to go to sleep. So Chase, I don't know if he went to sleep, but as I was saying, like, there's no reason why he should have felt confidence going into that first moto, because he was 4 seconds slower. He had a second practice. He got it within a second, but he was still slower. And then Jet beat him soundly last weekend. He didn't listen to what I said. He should have tucked front end. Like, you don't let that happen, tuck the front end.
Chase, you're in a borderline front. You better tuck that front end, son. I ain't lying with you. You better do something.
But Chase had other plans. So when he went down, he got up, and then he ran Jet down. But still, no matter how many times people do the same thing, this dude rises above. He rises. Chase was coming. Jet said, all right, I'm going to turn it up. And he turned it up. And I think they both was on the limit. Jet almost went down in this whoop section. With one of the things having fast rebound, that thing rebounded. I'm pretty sure that he probably slowed down the rebound a little bit for him. But that thing rebounded on him. And you could tell, like, he had a race. Jet looked like he was struggling with traction at first moto. I feel like when you look at his bike, it was almost the opposite. It was the opposite of Chase, but almost too much, where his bike was sitting up on stuff. It wasn't actually going all the way through, almost sitting up, which sometimes, like, it's either too stiff or the rebound's too fast, where the wheels are moving so quickly that it's not allowing the tire to have plant. Nonetheless, he was still able to get the job done. And no matter how many times or whoever came up, or you had this Chase Sexton coming out bad out of hell, came from Lake Minnetonka back with Purple Rain and Apollonia on the back, you still stopped it. Morris Day up in his. No one can stop him. And that says a lot, because Jet has a lot of pressure, and the kid is doing whatever it needs to be done to win. I just felt like, in which he knew too, that things were a lot closer than it appeared, just like the mirror says. He was able to step up and he was able to stop. I think we're going to have a good ending of the season. If Chase continued his thing, I think we're going to start seeing the best of Jet Lawrence. And I thought we saw that this weekend. Dude was riding, and those guys were like on it. But it didn't matter. It was another 1-1. Different than what it was last weekend. That second moto was dominant. Chase went down, and you just knew nothing was going to happen. He wasn't going to come back up. Jet, he didn't play around with him. And was that the bike setup change? No, I just think that, look, it's hard to do that two times in a row. And Jet probably just decided, like, I'm just going to go in on these first laps to kind of break Chase. But these dudes, they keep trying. And he's won all of them, 14-0. And Chase Sexton, he can come up and try to run him. Jason Anderson can be back with Cynthia. Siggy. Jay, what up? Big shout out. Look good, son. Look good. Back was feeling better. Rango, bike was looking good. But y'all was back there. But Jason was happy. But back to Jet Lawrence. The reason why I'm going to talk about much people, because they ain't really nothing to talk about. Like, hey, at the end of the day, yeah, Chase fell. He came up. He still got beat. Hey, it was cool. I was 4 seconds faster and Chase came out. And he still got beat. Hey, you know what? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm my bike kicked out in the rear, but hey, he still got beat. And why he kept getting beat? Because I won all 14 of these things. And I just don't feel like there's no pressure, because every time they feel like that is, I just rise it up and I rise above it. And I'm going to whoop some ass and keep smiling at the end of the day. I'm going to even tell Aaron Plessinger, why don't you come up and try to stay with me? Come closer, because I'm going to burn you with my jet flame, because I'm too damn fast. So Jet Lawrence, again, you done got 7 of these things, because I think my math, 1, 2, 3, 4, 14-0 equals 7 plus 2 equals, it's 2 plus. God dang it. You got 14 for a call.
Suntan, next on fire.
Neck burn, Jet Lawrence, you got seven of them. You got seven of them. Well, you got more than that, but you got seven of them this season. And kid, I don't even know, like, I keep saying, like, hey, they're closer than it appears, but the only thing that appears is that you keep winning, so maybe they're not as close. But good ride, Chase Sexton, good ride. Keep your head up, speed that rebound up, click it up, click it up, click it up, like, click it up, click it up. And look, you go into Washougal, and yeah, you could still get beat, but it was a better performance than that. I wouldn't have said tuck the front end with that kind of ride. You ain't got to tuck the front end up. I mean, you almost tucked the front end. You almost went night-night a few times. You ain't got to tuck the front end that way because he didn't just run off from you. So Chase Sexton, good job. Jason Anderson, good job. Aaron Flessinger, good job. Dylan, good job. Who else? Good job. Everybody else, good job. But it was still chasing that number 18, which is 14-0, 7-0. So that was it on that. All right, people. That was enough of that. You know what time it is. My favorite time. Your favorite time. Wait. Did I say my favorite time? We'll be right back. Oakley Student Dude. I'm confused. Whatever. What's up, guys? Your boy JS7. Now, I know we sit there and we watch on the TV on Saturday. And we watch these guys in action. But if you want to get in action, make sure you go to NXTBet/JS7 to get in yours. Well, we got head-to-head betting. We got podium betting. We even got a betting odds without Jet Lawrence because he's been so dominant. If they can't beat him, then we're going to have to figure out to beat him. So make sure y'all go to NXTBet/JS7 to get in and get yours as well, where you can end up with a neck burn and have some money in your pocket.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line or pin it wide open, as long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Oakley Stewed and Stew. Now, as always, we're going to start what we do. Is a stew. God, that's, you know what? The definition of stew, just Jet Lawrence, right? Just Jet Lawrence. Like, he's a stew because he keeps getting these stews. He's just better than everybody else. Everybody else comes with a test. He just aces it like he's just doing all these things that make no sense, but it's just so dominant. And I feel like he's the definition of the stew because he's gotten the most of these things. So when you think of the impossible, when you think of like greatness, you think of me, but you think of this guy, Jet Lawrence, which is a stupendous stew. So of course, we're not going to give your brother the first one. We're going to give it to you. You've been holding down the Lawrence family because your brother been slacking. He's been slacking. So he's going to be second. So Jet Lawrence, you a stew. There ain't really much else to say about that because you're just a stew. Now next, your brother. It's by the time you come back. It's got by the time you've been playing and doing all this stuff and falling over, rolling around, getting ribs like we working at Sonny's barbecue. You want those ribs? Look, those ribs, like whatever. And it sucks because I've broken a rib. But when you break a rib and you tell people, they think of like baby back ribs like Chili's or something. They're like, man, I don't even hurt ribs. They hurt. So I feel you, Hunter. And I know just like your teammates say, you tell some bitch. You know, like it hurts. So you a stew for fighting through that, but you a stew because you just came back and you dominated those fools. And I know that second motor, you was out front. And I know that second motor, it looked like you were gone. It was done. I turned the TV off and then I turned it back because something else came on. Then you didn't have no visor and Justin Cooper was winning. I was confused. But I was like, you know what? Hunter Lawrence got his thing, came off holding his ribs, which means he ends up winning overall, which makes you a stew. Now, Hunter, you a stew. There's other few people that I like to say that y'all a stew. Martins. Millville looked great. Millville looked great. And I don't know if it was Alex Martin. He must have made that trip back from where I got to go, from Washington. He made his way back home because he ain't up there.
Good job, Alex. You were on the dozer this week. Jeremy, I don't know if you were on the dozer, but I'm sure you had some input. But the track, the Martins did a great job. The track looked fun, made me want to come out and ride. Wasn't too rough, wasn't too smooth, wasn't too fast, unless you hear some other guys thought it was too fast, but it looked fun. Looked fun. So, Martins, y'all astute because the track was great. And the Millville crowd, y'all already know what y'all are. So, look, those are my stews. Joe Shibota wrote great. Justin Cooper, I don't even want to give you a default stew. I know you want a second motor, but, like, man, you know what? Like, we done with the default. So, everybody else, y'all astute. But it's really Lawrence Boys and the Martins. Great job. All right, people, that's it for that. My next list, Stu, pissed off. Pissed off because Cold Star's like coughing in my segment. Exactly where he belongs at is up top. And why is Cold coughing in my thing? It doesn't matter. I'm going to keep on going because I'm on the road. What the fuck?
Yeah, I didn't hear. So you made the comment. I didn't hear it through your mic. I'd tickle. I was holding it back so hard.
Let's get it.
Sorry.
Pissed off because I don't have anybody else that I feel like is pissed off enough to be on this list. That list is the Stu list. So I'm not even going there. I'm going to remix it and go to the confused. Why am I confused? Because I'm watching TV and I'm watching something and I'm like, dude, is this dude 4 seconds faster as I'm looking in practice? Well, I wasn't watching TV watching that. I was just talking about it because he was happening in first practice. But I'm watching Jet Lawrence. I'm like, damn, he's like 4 seconds. Is it Chase? He need to go take a nap. Need to take a nap like I did. Like, it can't be that bad. I said tuck the front end, then he didn't tuck the front end. He comes back, he's 4 seconds slower in practice. It was confusing as hell because I thought he was gonna be better this weekend. But then the second moto, the first moto happened, then Chase fell. I'm like, ah, here we go again. And then next thing you know, you're like, damn, like he went past Jason. All right, that's not confusing. He went past AP, went past Ferrandez, he went past Mexico, he went past Australia, he went past Alaska, he went past everybody. But then he started catching Jet. And we were like, wait, is he playing with us? Is he playing with us? Nah, he must have watched the show last weekend because Jay said, until he starts doing 2002 Unadilla, don't call me until he's playing. So we thought he was doing that. But nah, Jay Sexton decided to get up and roll. And it was confusing because, like, as soon as he caught him, it was like he just caught him. He just stayed there. And then I kept watching the times. So I was like, all right, he's there. And then he's not there. Okay, that's it. Then he's back up there. And I had to watch the times because I wasn't seeing it on the screen. And it was confusing as hell because I thought the TV time, lap time, AMA system was broken. Yes, it was confusing. So I don't know who's on that list. I was just talking. Like, yeah, I don't even know. Where am I at, Cool?
I think you're confused.
I'm being confused because I said, like, this is a confused segment, but I didn't have somebody to go into confusing. I was just talking about the people that was making me confused. Wait, so I'm confused. You're right. I am confused. I'm confused because whatever, people, whatever. I watched the TV and I turned it off. All right, people, that was it. That was your student confused as hell list. I guess that was it from round 28,004 from Millville, Minnetonka, where you saw Prince and the Revolution. Now you saw Jet Lawrence and his brother dominate, and you saw Ryan Dungey come back from a retirement for the next time. You saw Alex Martin out there on the dozer, which you didn't see him on the dozer. You just heard he was on the dozer. And then you saw a lot of other things. What you didn't see is your boy, which your boy will be back next week. So that won't be confusing. Ricky, good job. Jason, good job. What are you going to say, Cole?
I got nothing to say. I'm just glad to be back.
Man, whatever. Whatever. I think the show was better without you.
I'm grateful.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Look, we're going to have 3 camera shots because I showed up on time and he's here. It'd be a better show. All right, people, that was it from round 24, where, again, you saw the Lawrence boys get back on what they do in dominance. You saw Chase Sexton show up, and he fell over, and then he fell over again, but he was there. So we're looking forward to next weekend. And that was it from round 24. Again, where you had Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence dominate. All right, well, that was a weird ending to the show, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I think it's confusing.
Shut up!
Hey, parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.